What are we doing? Are we aiming for essentially the same kind of conversation as we had last week?
I have no idea what we're doing. Well, hello, everybody. You know that's not true. We always have a plan. My name is Tim Riddle, and I'd like to welcome you to the very first episode of the Discover Blind Spots podcast. This is number one. Now, you may be wondering where the name came from. A good friend of mine, Phil Anderson, that's Phil spelled F-I-L, spells it a little different. Phil Anderson and I just finished writing a book that we're released in about 6 months entitled Blind Spots, What You Don't See Can Hurt You. So we're excited to bring you interviews of stories from all types of people, from all different walks of life, who are willing to share their experience with blind spots. I personally believe it's one of the biggest issues in our society today, and I believe it's one of the primary obstacles preventing us from being all that we're supposed to be. Now, here's the thing. We get in a car each day, and we have these mirrors and other devices that help us see things all around us to keep us safe, right? But in life, you know, we head out each day, and sometimes we don't even think about utilizing one of those mirrors or devices or people to help us see things inside of us that might be holding us back. Might be things that we do that we shouldn't do, and it also might be something that we don't do that we should. In other words, maybe we have a talent that we don't see in ourselves, but others can clearly see it. Well, that's a blind spot as well. In fact, they're everywhere. In fact, if you're thinking, wow, what this idea of blind spots, I mean, are there really blind spots out there? They're everywhere. Our personal lives, our marriages, our families, our leadership at work, even companies have blind spots with their strategies and their messaging and team culture. And the problem is we can't see them, right? I mean, they're blind. It's a blind spot. And they have a tendency to sneak up on us, and we don't recognize them until a lot of times the damage is done. It's kind of like a cataract. You ever had a cataract removed from your eyes? They slowly grow and they cover your vision, and you don't really realize it's happening until you just suddenly wake up one day and all of a sudden your vision is just covered in a way that you can't see clearly. And when you identify a blind spot, you know, kind of like if you take that cataract and you remove it, you proactively deal with it, man, it's like lifting the weight of the world off your shoulders. So maybe this podcast can help promote a blind spot-free culture. You know, who knows? At least we're going to have fun trying. Now, here's a couple of favors I'd like to ask. If in any possible way, here's what we'd love for you to do. As we're trying to spread the word, this is episode one, so we're trying to get the word out about this new podcast and how it might help some people. Here's how you can help us. Here's what you can do. Number one, if you're listening, you know, through one of the either iTunes or somewhere in that nature, one of those programs that you listen to podcasts with, there's probably a button that allows you to subscribe. If you could subscribe, that would be great. Number two, if you could leave us a review, preferably a nice review, if you like it, all that does is just gives us a little bit more exposure and maybe helps us spread the audience a little bit. Number three, here's a simple way to do this. If you're thinking, well, I don't really know kind of how to do all that, here's a real simple thing you can do. Go to our website, brand new website. It's entitled discoverblindspots.com. discoverblindspots.com. All one word there, discoverblindspots, S-P-O-T-S.com. Check it out. And then you can go there to our podcast page and subscribe. You can just sort of click a button, enter your email, and let me tell you what happens. We'll send you an email every time we post a new episode. That might be once a week at the most, maybe once every other week. We'll see how this goes. But here's the deal. I promise we're not going to spam you. Our goal is just to provide some great content and let you know, just let you know when it's available. We'll just pop an email out and say, hey, we have a new episode, and we'll give you a little tidbit about what that episode's about. If it piques your interest, then you can click on it and listen to it. And then here's the last thing. If you could share some of these episodes as you listen to them, if you like them, share it on social media. Just take that link and just put it on your Facebook page or Twitter or Instagram or whatever, and just help us get the word out. That would be great. Now, today, I'm talking to one of my favorite people in the whole wide world. He's a dear friend, been a tremendous mentor to me. I've already mentioned his name. His name is Phil Anderson. He was a co-author of this book that we wrote together and had a blast doing that over the past year. And today we just kind of got together and we talked about kind of how this whole thing got started. So I hope you'll enjoy it. So why don't we get rolling, and here's this conversation with Phil Anderson. Here I am with Phil Anderson. Phil, this morning I was reading something. I got an email about a guy who's been doing podcasts, and they were celebrating their 200th.
Oh, wow.
200th episode.
Yeah.
And so for their 200th episode, they were giving away all kind of stuff. Like, I think it was Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts and all this kind of thing. So this is our first.
That's right.
So I guess we don't have to give anything away.
I guess not.
You know, but it is our first. And yes. And I just got to ask you, you know, we've been talking about this for a while. And I sort of remember close to the first day I walked into your office and said, man, I think we can do a podcast about this idea of blind spots. And then here we are. I mean, the very first one, Discover Blind Spots podcast. Did you ever think it was really going to happen, or did you think this guy's lost his mind?
Well, could it be both?
Yeah, could be. That's right.
I think that would probably describe it right there. No doubt about the lost mind. But you know, you're such a creative and bold person that. I guess I did imagine it would happen.
Oh, well, I don't know. But it is fun.
It's a lot of fun.
It's fun to be sitting here and just this idea, this concept, this topic, this theme that we wrote this book about, which is called Blind Spots, What You Don't See Can Hurt You. And that idea started probably about a year and a half ago now. We've been riding this train for a while.
Yep.
It was kind of, I don't know if you remember, I was thinking recently about how the book got started.
Yeah.
And it's a funny story. I've told it to a couple of people when I've reflected on it. We actually I don't think we wrote about this in the book. So this is kind of some inside information.
Right.
But I had started to, probably about a year ago, January, I had started to feel like some, you know, maybe I wanted to, had something stirring inside of me of a message or something to communicate, and I didn't quite know what it was. And I thought, maybe I'll think about writing. And I walked into your office, and which you've written a couple of successful books here, an accomplished author, Running on Empty, and Breaking the Rules, or your two books. And so I walked in and said, tell me about writing. And you remember what you said to me?
I'm not sure. Refresh me.
Well, I think you said, well, it does give you an opportunity to speak more, but you probably don't want to write unless you feel like you can't do anything else but write.
That's right.
Because it's hard.
Yeah. I also do recall saying, I hate writing, but I love having written.
Exactly.
Yeah. And what's behind that is, there's a tremendous, kind of satisfaction after you've found a way to say it as clearly as you possibly can, whatever it is you're trying to say. And that's what writing consists of.
Right. Well, I remember I walked out of your office. I was, I don't know if I was encouraged, but I walked out intrigued.
Yes.
That's probably a better
word.
I walked out intrigued. But I have to admit, I didn't think about it after that. I didn't think about our conversation. And the next morning, I got up early. I ride a bicycle for exercise, and I got up early. It was middle of January or so, and so it was cold out. And so I got on my trainer that I have in the garage, and so it was around 6:30, quarter to seven, something like that. And I got on the trainer, and I started my workout, and I probably didn't get a minute or two into the kind of spinning the pedals there, and all of a sudden, an idea came to me about an illustration.
Yep.
Of a book illustration.
Oh, I remember this.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so I stopped and I had my phone beside me. And so I sent myself an email because these days, forget maybe more than remember. And so I sent myself an email and I started pedaling again and another idea came. And so this pattern continued for some time. And then finally I finished my workout. Didn't really think much about it, came to the office, walked down the hall and walked into your office, and I just sort of said hello, and you said to me, I was just thinking about you this morning. And I think I said something about, well, what were you doing? What were you thinking? And you said, I was just saying a prayer for you. And I said, about what? And you said, about the conversation about we had yesterday about writing. And I asked you, I said, what time? And you said, I don't know, it was around 6:30, quarter to seven. And I pulled out my phone and I showed you, and there were 16 emails that I had sent to myself. And I recall I said to you, I said, well, you need to quit praying for me because I can't get my workout in.
That's right.
So that was kind of a neat beginning to that story. It would kind of back up from there, and maybe we can tell people how we met each other, which was, gosh, maybe five, six years before that, this all happened.
Yes, at least.
Yeah, you came to St. Mark's Church where I used to be the executive pastor there, and you spoke to a men's group.
I had just written Running on Empty.
That's right. And you were talking about that book and promoting it. And then not too long after that, about 2 years after that, I decided to go back to school and do the seminary thing, and I was a year or so into that and took a mentoring class, and one of our assignments that we had to find a mentor to sit with and work with and kind of a spiritual mentor, spiritual director. So I thought, I don't know one except this guy in Greensboro. His name is Phil Anderson, who spoke. And so I called you, and we began to sit together.
That's right.
And that was really a cool time. Mm. It was interesting, and maybe you can talk a little bit about that when you sit with people, because I think my perception had to change because I was under the impression that a mentor, particularly a spiritual mentor, would sit with you, listen to you, complain about stuff, and then say, okay, here's what you need to do. And I'd get my 10-step plan.
That's not quite how it worked, is it?
No, it's not at all. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I remember that. And in particular, I recall wondering, so is he just fulfilling an assignment for a class? Or is he wanting more from this? And it didn't take long for me to begin to sense, no, this guy's really wanting some spiritual guidance. And so I remember a conversation where we worked to gain some clarity on, are you wanting me to teach you some things, counsel you through some issues in your life, or are you wanting to have a safe place to talk about some of the deep issues that lie within your heart? And a real friendship began to develop during that time. And most of what I did was simply to listen. I tried to do it as actively as possible, but I remember stressing to you a number of times, you know, I'm not your answer man.
Right.
I'm here to prayerfully listen.
Yeah, I think the paradigm shift for me, and probably the biggest compliment that I could give you, and I've said this in speaking before, is that you, more than anybody else in my life, changed my perspective of moved the spotlight on from doing to being able to focus on being.
Yeah.
And that's, boy, that's been a change for me, because spending so much time in the marketplace, which I did, and then in ministry, you know, the past 27 years, about half of it's been in the marketplace, and the other half's been in ministry, and I spent a lot of years doing.
Yep.
And so that was a welcomed, really a gift that you gave me in your counsel.
That's great to hear. I certainly want to emphasize, not opposed to doing.
Right.
There's nothing at all wrong with doing, but to understand that sometimes our doing is really a kind of drivenness, and that's when we begin to get into trouble.
Yeah. I used to pride myself on the, you know, how many things I had on my to-do list, or how many things were on the calendar, or how much travel I had to do, and that just changed, yeah, you know, that perspective, which was probably going to prolong my life.
I hope so.
A little bit. Yeah. So, but then the next step of that journey, if we kind of continue down this road about our relationship, I appreciate you saying, you know, a great friendship developed, because it did. And it's interesting now when we think back, when I think back about those first couple of encounters, was, wow, you know, what we know now, what if we would have known then? You know, we had no idea, but we had an opening when I was executive pastor. We had an opening on our staff, and a little bit of, you know, we talked about the podcast, you know, I can get some crazy ideas sometimes and dream a little bit. I remember walking in one day and said, well, you know, we have this opening, and this might be a crazy idea, but have you ever thought about maybe working for a church and coming on staff, you know, being a pastor to our pastors and so forth? And you said,
that's a crazy idea.
That's right.
I loved hearing you describe the church and how you were thinking about this role. It was very intriguing. But I remember telling you, Tim, I'm not looking for a job. I worked for Young Life, an international organization. It was a wonderful experience, but I'd taken an enormous risk a few years before leaving Young Life to start my own ministry. And I was always looking for work, but I wasn't looking for a job.
Right.
And so we began to talk in those terms about, are there ways that I could come in and assist? And the rest is history.
Yeah, I think the thing that another probably compliment I would give you, because it in a little bit of a culture change, a little culture shift on our team, is, as you know, we would meet once a week, you know, our pastoral team would meet, and usually those meetings were filled with everybody bring your agenda, and we're gonna, you know, kind of, you know, check off all the things that we need to get done and so forth. And then we added you to the agenda to say, well, let's spend a little time where we just, you know, we're able to sit and check in and find out how we are and how we're doing, and you know, take a little time being,
yes,
as opposed to doing. And I remember early on when weeks would get a little hectic, and maybe on those Tuesday afternoons when we didn't have as much time to meet, sometimes the initial thoughts were, well, let's just cut out that that being piece, and let's just go through our list because we don't have time.
Right.
And then I don't know how long it took. You probably thought it took an eternity. But after a period of time, what I noticed, the shift was when things got tight and we needed to condense our meeting time down, what I was noticing our team would say is, well, let's go and spend some time just checking in with each other.
Yeah.
And then we can cover the to-do list and all of the agenda items later or outside of that meeting. And that's really a tribute to you. That was I know it was a slow process, but boy, that was a little bit of a transformation, a little bit of a change that took place amongst our staff.
Yeah, slow's not always a bad thing.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think something that I've appreciated watching is, a team can work with each other and not be for each other.
Yeah, for sure.
But I'll tell you, the working with improves when there's a sense of being for each other. And I hope that there's been progress in that area too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's go back to the book. We're jumping around a little bit, but that's okay. I mean, that's our first episode.
That's how I roll. Just come with me.
That's right. We don't have a producer in here telling us what we got to say. Right. We just get to do what we want to do.
That's right.
So back to the book, Blind Spots, What You Don't See Can Hurt You. And it's coming out in early, sometime about mid-February, mm-hmm. we think. We turned the manuscript in first part of June, and we will go through edits and all that good stuff, and then we'll hopefully it'll be out and be ready to go. And I know when we first started writing it, let's talk just a minute about the concept of blind spots.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I think what stirred inside of me was in my years of leading people. I've been fortunate that I've got a chance to lead people in the marketplace and also lead people in ministry. And I know early on when I was a young leader in the marketplace, I had several encounters, and I write about this in the book, but I had several encounters with people that were extremely talented people, but they all had blind spots, which we all do.
Sure.
Which we all do. But people who had blind spots that maybe struggled to see them, and I thought that I could train them, love them, send them to conferences and seminars and, you know, pay them, whatever it was, and that would just magically disappear. I mean, you know, people would just, it would just magically work.
Oh, so easy.
Yeah, and I found out it really through, some painful experiences that it really doesn't work that way. And then I remember sort of going through a period of time in my leadership where I thought, you know, I must just not be good at this.
Yeah.
And there must be something in me that I can't lead people through this. I can't, no matter what I did, I couldn't make them see that. And I read a book, Daniel Goleman wrote a book about emotional intelligence. And I still remember the day I was sitting in my office. And I had to read it for seminary. I had the book and had read part of it, but I hadn't read it all. And then we had to read it for seminary class. And so I went back and I'm reading through, and I'll probably butcher this, but I think I got the main concept. And that basically said, you know, our brains are wired up in a certain way that unless somebody admits that they have, and he didn't call it blind spot, but they have an area in their life or their performance that they want to, in their character, that they want to improve, that they feel like they need help with.
Right.
So unless they admit that they need that help and can see that, you know, they have this issue, you can train them, you can love them, you can pay them,
yes.
You can send them to training conferences, whatever you want to do. And he said, the best you're going to get is about a 2-3% improvement. And I remember when I read that line, I threw both hands up like a touchdown And I said out loud, I was sitting in my office by myself. I said out loud, I said, hallelujah, maybe it's not me.
Yes. And I wonder how many other folks have had that same experience.
Yeah.
Because what you're describing, I think, is every leader's experience.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And then, yeah, we'll share some of this in future episodes, but what we've done it offline here, you know, but we've got numerous blind spots in our lives that we've uncovered. You know, one of mine, which I won't talk about now, but you know, I've always thought I was, you know, the most emotionally aware person. You know, I prided myself on, you know, that kind of thing. And I had a blind spot hit me in the face one time. And it's just so
one time.
Well, it's right. There you go. That's right. You can keep me honest. You're multiple times and still do. But I think the thing that I was surprised when we were writing the book too, is that it's not, it probably all starts with people. I mean, it starts with an individual.
Yes.
But there are also blind spots are also very much a part of strategy.
Yes.
A part of companies, mm-hmm. you know, churches, nonprofits, organizations, marriages.
Yes.
Kids, you know, teenagers. I made the statement, I was speaking recently, and I made the statement that, you know, sometimes, you know, teenagers are blind spot. They can't see beyond tomorrow.
Yes.
You know, it's like, I can't see that what I'm getting ready to do right now is going to have an effect and might blow my life up. And, you know, all I'm thinking about is the next hour or so forth. So they're all over the place. I mean, you could throw a stone and you could hit a bunch of them without a lot of effort.
And do you think you ever reach a point where there are no more blind spots?
That's a great question, but I think the answer is no. You know, I think it's a matter of managing them as opposed to completely eliminating them.
Yeah, and one of the things that fascinates me, Tim, is how would you ever know if...
Right.
I can think I have seen all there is to see.
Yeah. 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 You know, this is interesting. This just popped into my mind here. As I mentioned, I was speaking recently about this topic, and a guy came up to me afterwards, and I use in this little keynote, I use the illustration of, you know, we have three mirrors in our car. We have a rear view mirror and we have the two side mirrors.
Yep.
And those mirrors are there to help us see, you know, kind of behind us, really, you know,
exactly.
Beside us and behind
sure.
us. And then we got that big front window that we should be able to see what's in front of us. So it gives us a 360 degree, you know, kind of deal.
Correct.
And I referenced that. And this guy came up after the talk, and he said, you know, he said, I loved your mirror illustration, but he said, you might need to update that because my wife just got a new car. And he said, we have three mirrors, but there's like four or five other gadgets that either speak to me or vibrate or
yes.
pull the wheel if we get out of line and so forth. And so I thought, man, there's mirrors, there's warnings.
Our cars see much better than we do.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it really is.
Absolutely incredible. So probably supports the answer to they're probably going to be there. It's probably something we're going to have to deal with the rest of our life. But if we, you know, perhaps if we manage it, you know, managing it on the front end is so much easier than
yeah.
having to dig out of it on the
back
end.
Well, and I think you make the point here that the importance of having people in your life who can see things that you can't see.
Right.
Just like those mirrors, just like those cameras that... we have on our cars.
Yeah, I always say my kids are great blind spot accountability
That's right.
partners.
In fact, if you ever wonder, rather than wonder, if you ever imagine that you have no more blind spots, my guess is if you'd ask your wife or kids or a close friend whether they see some things that perhaps we don't see, we're going to get a positive answer from them.
Yeah, probably so. You know, my kids think I'm a terrible driver. I think I'm a pretty good driver.
There you go.
But that's probably a blind spot.
Yeah, probably.
So tell me, just a few more minutes here. Tell me maybe what one thing you learned in this process of writing. You've been through it two times before, but in this process of writing, what was something that was different for you that you learned might have been profound or maybe not profound, but just an interesting take for you as you went through it this time?
Well, it was a wildly different experience. And I think the most profound part of it was doing it together with you. I discovered a lot of my blind spots.
Oh, wow.
I mean, we're writing about blind spots, and I'm discovering my own in the process of writing.
Right.
We'd have regular conversations where you'd bring up an issue that I'd been totally blind to.
Mm.
And so even in the creative process, I'm routinely bumping into blind spots.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think I recall being able to point out one or two of yours just to keep the score even.
One or two?
Or three or four.
Yeah. You know, we did kind of commit to each other. We said we're going to be each other's blind spot accountability partner through that. And that was, you know, that was good. You know, the other part of that, for that to work, is you got to be open for that.
Yes,
too.
Yes.
You know, it's one thing to ask somebody. You know, I also say to people, I say to guys, you know, now if your wife has just bought a brand new outfit and she walks in and says, "Honey, does this look okay?" She's not asking you to be her blind spot accountability partner.
That's right. That's right.
So, yeah, there are rules for that. But you do have to be, you have to come to it with the right spirit, you know, the right mind and heart, and to be willing. And you also have to find the right person.
Yes.
That, you know, I know when you point out a blind spot I have, I know you are telling me that, but I know you are for me.
Well, there's a world of difference between hitting someone where it helps versus where it hurts.
That's a great point.
And if you know a person is really for you,
right,
it's a lot easier to hear
what they
have to say. I hope, Tim, that one of the effects or results of us having tried to be, I think we were pretty honest about our struggle with some of our blind spots. Not all the stories we told are proud moments from our lives.
Sure.
I hope that other people will read our stories and discover their own.
Absolutely.
And also experience some of that freedom that I think we found in the process. You know, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. We're a work in progress.
Yeah, sure.
And to the subtitle's point, what you don't see really can hurt you.
Absolutely.
So might as well go ahead and face it.
Yeah, and that's a great little transition into, as we kind of wrap up here, you know, what we hope to accomplish with this is just to share some stories.
Yep.
And you and I got together last week and we brainstormed some guests that we hope to have on this episode or this podcast with us, that you and I, one of us will interview each week. And we're just hoping that people's stories, we got some fascinating people that I think are going to tell some fascinating stories that we can all learn from. And there's no right or wrong. There's no good or bad. There's no judgment by any means. It's just how do we navigate this thing called life together and learn from each other. And I think that's, if I had to sum it up, that's the spirit of really what we're trying to do here.
I think it is. And with that, the recognition and respect for the fact that this is a topic that affects everyone.
Yeah, without a doubt.
There's just no one who sees all. Well, there is one.
Yeah, for sure. Well, this was episode one. So you think episode 200, you think you'd be tired of me by then?
I think we'll be giving things away.
Yeah. We got to think of something. You know, I wonder what it would be. In 200 episodes, you think it'll still be Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts?
There's just no telling. It's a blind spot.
Could be. But, you know, knowing you and you knowing me, it might have to do something with some ice cream somewhere.
Perhaps.
That's right. Well, until the next episode, I've enjoyed chatting with
you today.
Thanks,
Tim. Me too. Great fun.